Ladies and gentlemen, let me welcome you to this third program in the 10th annual Florida Folk Festival. Many people are responsible for making this festival every year a very fine event. We can't name all of them, but I do want to introduce to you formally the director of the Florida Folk Festival, and no person works harder, does more, is a real folklorist herself than our director, Miss Thelma Bolton. Let's give her a big hand of applause.
Thank you, Cousin Ed. He tries to keep me straight. I have a very important announcement to make. I told you this afternoon that Fred Beaver is an artist, and I'm sure you have learned that by seeing his paintings that he has on exhibition here. He won this week at Philbrook Art Center, Tulsa, Oklahoma, the 17th annual American Indian Painting Competition. He won first prize, and they bought his painting. Let's give him a hand. And I think it's appropriate to introduce him at this time. Our distinguished artist, our beloved friend, Fred Beaver from Ardmore, Oklahoma.
So we'll do this now. I will sing a song first, a chant. It's real short. It's a social song that they sing around the home places. Not at the stomp grounds or not at the power grounds or anywhere, but just among themselves. It goes like this. It's not danceable, but it has a rather rhythmic to it, and this is my accompaniment. It goes like this.
Yago willy ha, yago willy ha, yago willy ha, hit the ha, yo da, we ha, hey, yago willy ha, yago willy ha, yago willy ha, hit the ha, yo da, we ha, hey,
Now, I'm going to do the same thing. This is the final song fest we have, and so, in order to show appreciation, everybody yells and whoop and go their way. Don't leave, but I'd like for you to hoop with me. Now, hoop, holler, what are you going for? Let's just give it out. See, that means we're enjoying ourselves. Well, let's have fun. That's what it means. And it's a more folk thing among the Indian people. Most Indian tribes have this type of a song. And I'm going to say the same song again. If I do this, I want you to yell with me. And I will leave you. Okay.
Yaga willy ha, yaga willy ha, yaga willy ha, hit the ha, yo da, we ha, hey, yeah. Yaga willy ha, yaga willy ha, yaga willy ha, hit the ha, yo da, we ha, hey, yeah.
Hold on.
I'm going to ask Cousin Ed to come back up and introduce a very particular group at this time, Cousin Ed Kirkland.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us on the stage five young people from Nepal. Nepalese, they're going to sing for us, and I'd like to introduce to you first Mr. Ganga Bahadur, who here goes by the name of Jack, so it's a little easier for us to pronounce his name, Jack. On his right is his wife and little girl. The wife and little girl arrived in Jacksonville yesterday at 5 o'clock by plane. At 7 o'clock the night before, they were at the foot of the Himalayas, and they came that fast to be with us. Jack has been here 5 years, speaks 7 languages. I wish I could speak one. And the other members of the group, Mr. Geary, yeah, and Mr. Gautam, The first song they're going to sing will be a religious song. It's on the program for Sunday, but they cannot be here Sunday. And it's called A Prayer to Bhagwan, B-H-A-W-A-N-I. A Prayer to Bhagwan, the Holy God, which is their God. Baldwin tells me that she thinks you ought to sing another one. So would you give us that flute solo, Jack? It's called, Oh God, Listen to My Prayer.
Appropriate for Billy to be seated up there in the seat of honor. Billy Bowlegs III, who celebrated his 100th birthday in February. This is a delayed birthday celebration for Billy. On his left sits the Reverend Josie Billy, and on his right, his good friend who brought him Jezebel Devane, the Indian Medicine Lodge of the Trail Craft Troop number 123 of Winter Haven, Hope County, will now do dances in Billy's honor.
Susie presents him with a cake. Happy birthday. Susie accepts the cake. It's only to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Billy Bowlegs got a wonderful thrill out of that. The words that the boys expressed tonight in their ceremony is so similar to the character of the Seminole Indian as I have come to know them. And maybe you heard someone say, Mado. That was Billy Bowlegs saying thank you to the boys that put on the dance. Now, you know, it wouldn't be a folk festival without a tale, and one of my favorite tales concerns Uncle Rima. One day, that old man was down to the railroad station viewing a monstrous pile of watermelons piled up about a mile high and waiting to be shipped off somewhere. And Uncle Rima had come along early in the morning when there wasn't anybody around but one old yellowhammer sitting up there in a dead pine tree, and he say, oh, look a yonder. Look a there, sure as you bone, that is a monstrous pile of watermelons for a fact. I wonder where they come from. Oh, don't they make your mouth water? Look at them little old scribes zigzagging over them just like a little old rattlesnake. They couldn't come from but one place in the whole wide world, and that is the United States of Georgia. But don't give me none of them there stove bulk watermelons. I don't want one I got to pay damn money on, no sir. I wants to get up early in the morning doing watermelon time and cuts me a stick and pins like I'm going on the round the road and look for a cow which is strayed. And I walk on down that old dirt road with the birds a-singing, and finally I comes to a fence where the crab grass is growing not mighty high and mighty on the other side. And I clambers over that fence and I pokes around in that crab grass. And I see something down there glistening with little rats of dew on it, a-winking at me. And I takes my stick and I pokes around and I say, now look at that, what somebody done dumped. Somebody done gone and planted a whole big patch of watermelons and gone off and left on. And I don't look no further. I leans down there and I thump him. And if he holler back like he's full, man, if anybody's watching, they see a sight. They see me ball up my fist and bust that watermelon wide open. And they see me take my hand and use it for a scoop and fetch myself a swipe across the mouth.
And the more they see of my hand, the less they see of that watermelon. And when there ain't nothing left but that old white rind, I forget about that old cow which is strayed. I just turns around and I goes on back home and sits down in my cabin door and nods. That is, if the bumbleye bee don't get after me, because I've got as much sweetness on the outside as I've got on the inside. And then, my corporosity allowance, I turns around and I cuts me another stick, and I goes and hunts me another cow, which is straight for back. And I think it's time for a dance. Oh, my. Well, it's time then for Cousin Leroy Daniel. Oh, we've been trying to get him here for a long time. He doesn't play one harmonica. He plays two harmonicas at the same time. And he was one of the original performers over at the old Live Oak, what, Swanee Jamboree. Mr. Stonewall Turnip Seed himself. Wait. Oh, oh!
Ah! Woo! Welcome.
Oh, ain't it now?
See, if you was on the show, you could do this.
It's over there. You know what? I'm telling you the truth. When I found out, who was that good-looking woman I talked to a while ago?
Right here. Oh, I see over there.
Well, me and her was out there in the back talking, you know, and she got scared and I had to run. Anyway, I'm proud to be here. Where's my help? I got some help here tonight. I'm going to have to back off this thing. Light burn my eyes. That ought you fellas to move your microphone?
Fine. Oh, I guess they won't be up here. Okay.
I'm proud to be here. I wasn't here last year. They got on me for not coming, but I had an excuse for not coming. I didn't have a way, and she wouldn't come get me, but that's my buddy over there. You know, looking at her reminds me of the time I was over here at Jacksonville trying to get in a show, you know.
What are you grinning about? I can't help it.
One of these days, I'm going to fill these things out. I'm trying to do it right now. But anyhow, I was over there going in one of these shows. Can you hear me all right out there? I'm busting that guy's eardrum just now. He said, yeah, I can hear you. Anyway, I was going to one of them shows, and I was standing in line over there, and we were walking up there, and the lady up front said, I want a ticket and a half. She said, why do you want a ticket and a half? She said, well, my little boy here wearing short pants, and he gets a half price on. I said, yeah. Well, this big woman back back of me started laughing and laughing and laughing. That little boy got in with short pants on. He said, what you laughing about, lady? She said, that's one show I'm going to get in free. I don't have any on. Woo! Great, goodness alive. You know, we were coming over here. By the way, I want to let you know who these ugly people is back here. This is Johnny Bond from Live Oak, and this fella here is Earl Chalker from Montgomery, Alabama. Is that right? Dothan, Alabama. Let's give him a big hand. You're going to hear him in a minute. Stopped out here a while ago to that place to eat, you know, and I was so hungry. I'm telling you, I didn't have much money, but I was hungry. I'm telling you, I was so hungry I could eat anything. I'd like to eat my tie, but I couldn't, and I eat Johnny. Well, anyway, I went in there, and she said, what do you want? And I looked on the menu, and they had old pea soup, chicken soup, oxtail soup. Well, that's getting pretty far behind. I didn't want none of that. But anyhow, I told her, I said, I'll just settle for a hamburger and a soda water. And while I was sitting there drinking that soda water and eating that hamburger, I got to wondering how much that was going to cost me. Well, I didn't have much money, but I'd done it half of it and couldn't get it back anyhow, so I might as well go ahead and eat the rest of it. Well, I went up there to pay the lady. I said, lady, how much is it? She said, $2.50. Whoo, that went all over me. A hamburger and a soda water, $2.50. That made me so mad I had to borrow money from Johnny to finish paying for it. But I'm telling you the truth, that made me so mad. I started to the door and I just happened to turn around and look. I seen something around that lady's neck. I said, "Lady, what's that around your neck?" She said, "That's my bead, stupid." I said, "Well, I didn't know. I thought maybe it's your garters. Everything else is high around here." We were down here to the show in Lake City here the other day, and there was a man from Texas. You know how the people from Texas, they say, "Ever." You just now got that too, didn't you? I'll fix you up in a minute. You just wait. Oh, but you know, we're down at Lake City, and you know, everything grows big in Texas, and everybody in Texas tries to outdo the other one. Well, this man here had one of them Cadillacs, you know, and on it he had steer horns on the front, and he had cow hides for the seat covers, and he had a cow tail on the trunk of it. And the manager of the theater come in there, and he said, "Who is that got that Cadillac parked out front from Texas with the cow hide, seat covers, and the horns and all?" Some man spoke up and says, "That's mine, sir." He said, "Well, I wish you'd go move it then. There's some darn drunk out there trying to milk the back seat." I didn't go through this thing. Most women nowadays try to see how much they can get out of a dress. Went down here to Jacksonville Beach last weekend, and there's a sign out there that says, "Two-piece bathing suits not allowed on this beach." There was a gal laying down there with one of them bikini bathing suits on. The policeman went up to her and says, "Lady, you know there's two-piece bathing suits not allowed on the beach." Said, "Well, which piece you want me to take off?"
Woo! I'm hot tonight. Now, how about that, son? How about that?
Woo! You know, I always get a letter from my ma up in the Carolinas. I was just up there Easter weekend, and I really enjoyed that trip up there. That was beautiful country up in the Carolinas around Charlotte, North Carolina. Anybody here from Charlotte or Spartanburg, any place? Well, that's good country. If you've never been there, you ought to go sometime. And it's good to go up there and visit, but always come back to the Suwannee River, because that's what I did. I got down here and got broke and couldn't get out, that's why. But I always get a letter from my ma, and I like to read it to you. And she starts off something like this. She just loves me to death. Says, "Dear son," and there's three blanks, and I never have figured what that was. Says, "This is to let you know your Aunt Sophie died. Hope this finds you the same." They like me, don't they? "Son, when you come home, you will find us moved." Well, that's nice. Everybody moves once in a while. "We're building a new brick house across the street from the old brick house." Well, that's simple and easy, isn't it? Anybody can do that. But here's one thing I can't figure out. Says, "We're using the brick from the old brick house to build the new brick house, and we're going to live in the old brick house till the new brick house is done." How you do that? "Your Uncle Ned was on the roof working. He fell off in a barrel of turpentine. He was last seen hightailing it towards Miami." I guess that turpentine pretty well burned, didn't it? P.S. I guess that means possum snap. "The corn boy next door married the cob girl down by the road." That's all right. "They had a little boy and they named him Nubbin. He had pretty silky hair. They put him in a crib." And everybody that looked at him said, "Oh, shucks." It says, "P.S. again, I guess that means pig sausage this time." "We would have sent you the $10 we owed you, but I had done already sealed the envelope and before I thought it. Bye now, son, and may the good Lord always keep you from your loving mother." You know, I ain't never got to do what I come up here to do yet. I got so busy telling you folks about my family and all, but you know, I just love Cousin Thelma Jess. She's always been a good friend of mine. I met her about 10, 12 years ago, and I'm going to do this just for her. I got a couple of three harmonicas here in my pocket, and I'm just going to play one or two of them for her, and I might play two at one time. You can't ever tell. It just depends on what comes out. And we do just what comes naturally over here on the banks of Swan River. We always have, and I guess we always will. Nobody can ever change us, because we're going to be the same wherever you see us. Except, I'll have my britches on right. I got them on the back of that. Had the dress out there in the darkness. Come on, it's time to go. And I didn't know until I went to reach my hand in my pocket that I had one backwards. Come out here! Keep him a while. He just moved with us not too long ago. This is one Cousin Thelma likes. I got two to play for him, but I'm going to play this one right now before I give out of breath. The next one, I do a little bit of twist and rock and roll in the last one. And, of course, that ain't folk music by a long shot, is it? But me and Cousin Thelma are going to do the twist in a minute. That, you know, looking over there at Cousin Thelma, you know, that reminded me of another joke. Said, my girl wasn't much of a sales girl, but she could sure fill out a slip. Woo! But you know, dancing with her is like trying to get on a merry-go-round after it started. You have to look close now, because I'm going to play two for you. I'll play one, and I'll play two, and then I'll play one again, and two.
Some of your tall tales were corny. Now, I do believe that the Palmacee peewees are ready.
In addition to doing international, the Palmacee of Peewees like very much to do squares. So to help myself, I brought two substitutes tonight, and only one of them is going to call tonight, but the other one will call for you tomorrow afternoon. And the first caller is Bobby Keister. He's 13 years old. His voice hasn't broke yet, so he's still calling in soprano. Now, the one you'll hear tomorrow, his voice is cracked. He's a tenor already. Palmacee of Peewees.
This is for the young in heart.
This puppet show that you're about to see, that everybody has heard of, Punch and Judy, came to its height in London and in other parts of England in about the 1850s. And the show as you'll see it tonight is very much as you might have seen it on a London street corner in 1850. Now please keep in mind that this was not a show for children. This was a show for adults. And the puppeteers carried a theater, much like this one, around on his back with all the various paraphernalia, from corner to corner, wherever he could find crowds. He set up shop, rang the bell to attract them, put on the show, and then passed the stuff for payment. And this is the way he made his living. So this is as much as you might have seen it in London in 1850.
Sit down, servant, against it all. Sit down, servant, against it all. Sit down, servant, against it all. The so-so has a place.